listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from God who comes to us in peace and who calls us, invites us now here, the beginning of a new year, to come and see. Amen. It's one thing to know where a story ends and what the whole point is. It's another thing completely to actually experience that. I marvel every time I get to travel because I have this experience of kind of knowing something about where I'm going. I can study the maps and I can read about the area, but of course it's a completely different experience to actually go there. We just did this 2 weeks ago on Christmas Day. Our family drove out on Christmas Day and made our way up through California. We were in Sacramento on Christmas Day night and then all the way up into Oregon. And I love this, seeing the map before we go. We were going to an area I hadn't been to yet, and nowadays with Google, you know, you even get these fancy three-dimensional images of what the land might look like, and you can try to understand as much as you can about the land, but of course, it's no substitute for actually being there. You've all had this experience. There's no substitute for being able to smell the fresh pine up there in the Northwest. There's no substitute for seeing your breath in the air in that freezing temperature. There's no substitute for having to talk to locals. Even after I studied the map, thought I knew where I was going, there were lots of roundabouts in the area where we were, and so those completely throw me off. And so you literally are just spinning in circles, and so I just got all dizzy, and we have to talk to locals about, oh, how do we get here or there? There's no substitute for actually being there. There's no substitute, of course, for having the chance to embrace your relatives, parents, and brothers and sisters, our little niece, all together after traveling so many miles, all of us, to be in one place. There's no substitute for slipping a little bit on the snow as you make your way up to the doorstep of the nice warm cabin. Ah, welcome to Bend, Oregon. That's where we were. We were in Bend, and it was so wonderful. I'd never been there before. You can grasp a place intellectually. I mean, I'd heard and talked and, you know, had friends who lived in Bend and all these things. You can grasp a place intellectually or on a screen. You can get pictures as much as you can. You can have some idea of where you're going, but it's absolutely no substitute for actually being there. Welcome to the Gospel of John, the first chapter. On December the 24th, on Christmas Eve morning, we gathered together for Advent 4, and I laid out at that time a bunch of themes, I think about five themes, and shared that everything we need to know about John's gospel is actually in those first couple verses. That's what a professor had said. Everything you need to know about John and John's gospel is in those first couple verses. So it's a little bit like a map. And I want to encourage you as we move through the Gospel of John this year to refer back to the map. I didn't stop looking at the map of Bend when I was there. But now, at the end of the chapter 1, and as we move into the book of John, now we actually get to experience it. It's a much different experience. Now we move into the light that John so poetically describes, the light of life, the light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness in these winter dark months, in many ways, more than just the weather. Our text for today is appropriate. It's at the beginning of a brand new year, 2018. We made it. 2018. We're standing in this new place, as I was saying with the children. And here we find ourselves being invited by Jesus himself to enter the journey, to enter into this place of following Christ into the light. There is no substitute. Rather than experiencing the scent of pine trees, as I did over Christmas break, experience instead the scent of God's grace and beauty. Enter into the embrace of family, not your own family, as I did in Oregon, but rather experience the embrace of the community of faith. Rather than experiencing the cold weather as I did in Oregon, we experience in John's gospel the cold of a world where some opt out of this sacred community and this holy meal. Some say, I don't want any part of it. This is all in John's gospel. Even we experience in John's gospel some disorientation, like those roundabouts threw me off. When we follow Jesus, we get spun around, and in some ways we get completely disoriented, and all we can do is trust and follow after this voice of the Good Shepherd who says, come and see. You can grasp John intellectually, or maybe in two dimensions, like on a screen. You can have some idea of where it's all going in these first couple verses in John, but it's absolutely no substitute for actually being there. To go there yourself is what this invitation is about this day. Jesus is inviting us to move. To move to a new place. And moving to a new place requires a journey. Don't just snap your fingers and you're there. You have to get from here to there. And we are invited this day, this new year, to relocate, to transfer, to move into God's very heart, is what John's gospel is all about. Come into the very heart of God. Jesus asks this question in this reading today. What are you looking for? When Jesus asks a question in John's gospel, it's never just a flippant question. It's a deep question. What are you looking for? It's a great question here at the beginning of a new year. Are you willing to explore it? It's a deep question. What are you looking for? The slate is clean here in 2018 in lots of ways. Many of us have been out of a regular routine with the holidays, and so maybe we're a little more open to exploring this question because we're not bogged down yet, again, by the daily grind, you know, that bog. And so there's a little bit of openness here at the beginning of the new year. We stand with a clean slate, and we hear Jesus' question, what are you looking for? In this moment, it's like we're at the trailhead, at the beginning of the journey. What do you want? What do you really want in this life? What's the whole purpose here? These are big questions. The world will try to answer those for us. I'll tell you what you want, the world says. Here's what you want. You want money. You want power. You want safety. You want material things. You want fancy clothes and rugged independence. You want nice cars. You want jewelry. You want success. You want your children to be successful and make you proud. You want to win and win and win. But we know all too well, as people who have lost loved ones, who have sat at bedsides, we know all too well that we can't take those material short-term things with us when we die. It's really the deathbed that we have to imagine in order to get at this big question that Jesus is asking us. We have to at least imagine ourselves on our own deathbed and ask, what is it that you really want? What are you looking for, Jesus says? What's the point? It's good to stop beginning of a new year and ponder these things here at the trailhead. What do you really want? And the great thing for us Christians, us trusters in Jesus, we Christians trust in Jesus. When we play out this deathbed scene, which is a little morbid, I know, but it's a good thing because it gets us to the core things of what's really important. When we play this out, what's really exciting and good as Christians, as those who trust in Jesus, is that we believe that we have eternal life already coming to us when we're on that deathbed. We trust that this is true, not because we've earned it, but because of Christ. Because my good works are never going to amount and never going to earn me that. And frankly, there aren't that many good works to speak of. At the end of the day, we receive this gift of eternal life when we are on our deathbeds only because of Christ. It's the great, simple, and yet profound mystery of the ages. Only because of Christ. And we confess this is most certainly true. God gives us this gift of eternal life. So, in faith, our answer to Jesus' big question here, what are you looking for? It doesn't have to do with the afterlife. Jesus is asking about here and now in this life, because the next life is given freely to us. We will live eternally with God forever. That's good news. So what do you want in this life, knowing now that we're freed from death and sin and all the powers of evil? What do you want from this life? What are you looking for, Jesus says, here on earth, now that you're going to be okay? What are you looking for now that you've already been saved? I love that the disciples, they don't have an answer for him. Literally, they don't have an answer. They respond with a question. And I love that. Jesus asks them, what are you looking for in this text? And what do they say? Their answer is a question. They say, teacher, where are you abiding? What are you looking for? Teacher, where are you staying? It's almost like they're lost in this roundabout. They respond with another question. They have no idea, and maybe we don't either, how to answer that. It's worth pondering, though, at the beginning. All they know is that they want to be close to Jesus. Teacher, where are you staying? And that's when Jesus invites them. Just like they're standing at a trailhead, Jesus invites them. Says, come and see. Come and see where I'm staying. Come and see and abide with me in my love. Friends in Christ, God's got great things in store for us this 2018. God's got great things in store for us. This is going to be a good year. These things might be things that disorient us, however. Might be things that freeze us or make us slip, like I slipped in the snow. Jesus never promised that this journey would be easy. To say 2018 is going to be a great year doesn't promise it's going to be an easy year. We're just going to coast by here. But at the same time, in this journey of life, in this journey of faith, in this abiding in Christ's gracious and loving presence, we enter into the very heart of God with this Gospel of John this year. We come to know, and not just know it intellectually, but feel it. We know it even in our hearts, that God is love. And God's love is wrapping around us. We come to experience that in John's gospel. God's love comforts us. God's love inspires us. That is, breathes into us this Holy Spirit. God's love challenges us in new ways. And God's love moves us outward, always outward, into new places, into new ideas, into new positions, into new experiences. This is God's love. Remarkable thing. When I was in seminary, I was reading through the Gospel of John, thinking about this idea of moving. And I decided I was going to read John's Gospel with a map of the Holy Land right next to me, and just track Jesus and the disciples as they moved around. And you know, I gave up because they kept moving so much. It was 1 minute they were here and the next they were there. It was almost like they were being teleported around Galilee and Judea. It's really something. Jesus is always moving. They move so much. Journeying into God's heart changes us. It moves us. It fills us with grace and mercy, and then it sends us out to find and to share that grace and mercy with others, just like Philip does in this text. Wasn't that great? Jesus says, come and see at the beginning of our reading, and then Philip says the same thing. He sees, he comes and he sees, and then he turns and invites Nathanael to come and see in the same way. This is us too, friends. we can find others and share with them this same invitation that God has given us to come and see, to enter into the journey with Christ. Even before the journey's begun, we're able to invite others into it. I don't know where it's going to go, but come and see. Let's go. God invites us to abide. So this is a good day. This is a good year. Standing here at the trailhead, God's going to see us through. Amen.
Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!